We are joined by Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland. Wait, what? Baseball? Wait, yes, baseball. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland here with us. Coach, great to see you. How are you this morning?
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and a lot of people, I know you're thinking about the Major League Baseball playoffs, but the college guys are working hard right now, too. And you guys have a new rule where you can actually get to play someone other than yourselves.
Yeah, we actually started practice last Thursday, our fall workouts. We get a 45-day window to practice 30 times, but the NCAA passed a new rule this year that we can play two games against outside competition. So our friends from North Georgia are going to come down. Tommy Cantrell, the head coach there, is a good friend. They're going to come down this Sunday. So September the 30th, Sunday at 2 p.m. at Foley Field, we're going to play an exhibition game. We're going to play 14 innings.
Oh, wow.
So we're not allowed to play a doubleheader. It's one game, 14 innings, if that makes any sense at all.
What if you're tied after 14?
Then it's tie game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right,
it's tie game. So the rules, baseball rules, I mean, you could actually have free substitutions. We can do some things if you want to. If someone's got a little bit of a tight hamstring, he can hit and you can pinch run for him. So some of the general rules are out. But more than anything, we get a chance to compete against somebody else, and we'll play 14 innings. So all the position players will play, and most of the older guys will pitch in this game.
Sam's PA, and did you know that it was 14 innings?
I knew that I was talking to our man Chris Lakos, and he told me that they would be playing more than nine innings.
Okay.
That's all I knew.
Sam's being paid by the event,
that's
not
right,
by
yeah.
the inning.
That's
so
right.
We'll
yeah,
make
exactly.
sure.
So, no, that's interesting. And then your other exhibition is?
That's October the 14th, the two Sundays, and UNC Asheville is coming in.
Okay.
And, it's interesting. We actually were trying to get a game with the University of Florida on Friday night before the Georgia-Florida football
right.
game. And we kind of thought that we had that in place, and it turned out that there's a big tailgating event going on in the baseball stadium in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow.
So they couldn't move the schedule and change that. But that's something that we're going to look to do in the future, of just
yeah.
kind of make that weekend really special. I mean, obviously the football game's the big attraction, but if you can play Friday night under the lights in Jacksonville, and it's going to be half Georgia, half Florida, I think it'd be a pretty cool event.
So this is like just a far-fetched example, but in theory, could UCLA come here and you could play Saturday and Sunday if you wanted to?
Well, you can't miss any class. That's the rule.
Oh, okay.
The NCAA stipulates in the fall that you cannot miss
Got
class
you.
To play a game. So if you're going to play Friday, we don't have school at that weekend. It's fall break.
Right.
So we can go down on Thursday night and stay in Florida. They do have school on Friday before the Georgia-Florida football game. So we'd have to play at night because they'd have to go to class and then come over. So you won't see too many people traveling too far.
Doing that crazy stuff.
But
okay.
if you do see people that are 4 or 5 hours away, they'll be playing on Saturday and Sunday.
So how do you feel about this?
I like it. It breaks up the fall. We've got 6 weeks to play fall baseball, and those guys get tired of me yelling at them every single day. So
they do.
Yes, they do. They do. So they need to, you get to play outside competition. We do a lot of inter-squad. We do play the Red and Black World Series at the end, November 1st through 3rd. We'll do that. So, but that's at the end. So to be able to break it up, so we'll practice for really 9 days. We practice, then we play, then we practice for 2 weeks, then we play again, then we practice for 2 weeks, and it's the Red and Black. So it really breaks up the fall pretty good.
Now, Coach, you've had a good bit of time now to kind of, marinate and digest on the last season and how everything went. If you kind of could look back on it now and just kind of give okay, we got to this point, now we have to take it to that next level. How do you feel last season went overall?
Well, I thought overall it went very well. I give us a good. I give us a B. You want to get to the postseason. Where we had been, we hadn't been to the postseason since 2011. It had been a long time since Georgia had been in the NCAA regionals. So, getting there was one thing. We felt like we had a really talented club. We felt like that we certainly had a chance to move on. It was disappointing. We had a bad day. Duke had a great day. They got hot, and they beat us, and that really stung a little bit. But, overall, when you look back, I thought we had a good year. To me, a great year is when you get to the Super Regionals, and a phenomenal year is when you get to Omaha. So that's our goal, and now our kids got a taste of it. We got 25 guys returning from that team, 7 of our 9 starters, a lot of starting pitching back, a lot of young guys coming in there, very talented again. So we feel really good about where we are, and now we've got that experience of the postseason in our back pocket.
So is it going to shift a little bit? Not necessarily shift, but the focus going to be on the pitching staff as opposed to what you guys are going to want to do offensively? I know you got a couple of bats you got to replace.
Yeah, well, you got to replace 32 home runs.
Yeah.
Keegan McGovern and Michael Curry.
Yes.
Keegan had 19 and Michael had 13. So that's a lot of offense to replace. So you don't replace that with one or two guys.
Right.
You replace it with nine guys. You replace it with the seven returning starters we have and the two guys that will end up getting in the spots in that lineup. And you just try to do it overall as a team. And I think that we can do that. I think offensively, I think we're going to have a very good club. But we're going to win it with pitching and defense. You know, our pitching, the ERA that we had was better than any ERA in the last, gosh, I think 20 years.
Yep.
And we set a record, program record for defensive fielding. We fielded 979, which was ninth best in the country. But that's the best in the history of our program. And we've got all of our defenders back except for Keegan out and left. So I think our defense has a chance to be better. I think our pitching will be better. And offensively, I think that we can be very close to where we were, maybe even better there. So all the way around, I'm very optimistic about our club.
You talk about losing those big bats kind of in the middle of the lineup. And as a manager, you kind of have to strategize and game plan based around the players that you have. So would it be safe to say then that Georgia may be shifting more towards a little bit of a small ball manufacturing runs type team without that power in the middle of the lineup? Or do you have some guys that you think could surprise some people with those numbers?
Well, I do think that we have some guys that can put some more numbers up. I think you're going to see Cam Shepard have a great year.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Shunk, I think you're going to see some more power numbers out of him. Adam Sasser has continued to get better and better. I mean, he's just been such a, I don't want to say a surprise, but he didn't start opening day last year and he ended up being an all-SEC player. So, those guys I think can put up some power numbers. But, yeah, we're going to try to do some things, and we did it last year. There were times when we lay some bunts down and steal, and, Tucker Maxwell, Tucker Bradley, C.J. Smith, all those guys can do a lot of those things. So, yeah, I think we've got some guys that can control the bat. We can hit and run a little bit. We can steal and certainly put some pressure on defenses with the bunt.
You mentioned C.J. and the Tuckers. Would that be the outfield right now if you were starting it today?
Got a chance to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good defensive outfield when you put Tucker, and C.J. out there, all three left-handed bats that can run and bunt and do a lot of things and play defense. So there'll probably be some times when those three guys will be out there together. But we've got a junior college player named Caden Fowler who can really hit. Connor Tate from Maconee County, he redshirted last year. He actually broke a rib right before the season started. He is big and strong, and he might end up being in that outfield spot too. So we've got some options for sure out there. But we're excited to see this, and everyone's going to get a play. We're going to basically break this game up on Sunday into seven-inning segments. You got to keep playing. We're not allowed to stop.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah,
that.
You're not allowed to stop and have a hot dog and
yeah.
Drag,
right.
do some things. But we're going to play. We're just going to kind of split it in half. So everyone's going to get an opportunity to play. We'll probably do the same thing. We play UNC Asheville. So we've got a lot of competition. Should be fun.
Mentioned Sasser, and you got Sullivan, too, at first.
Yep.
So you got two left-handed hitters there. So I know you've got that option for DH. What's the now that Curry's gone? What's it going to look like as a right-handed hitting DH?
Well, Connor Tate, like we mentioned before,
Connor, okay.
Yeah, Connor can really hit. He's got a lot of strength and can hit the ball the opposite field. A guy that so far, if we picked an MVP after the first week, which you don't do that, but the first week, Riley King has been
awesome.
Off the charts good, and Riley redshirted his freshman year for us. Played a little bit last year. And he's always battled injuries. This is the first fall that he's been healthy. When he came in as a freshman, he just came off a knee surgery. Last year he had an elbow issue that he wasn't even allowed to participate in the fall. So he played all summer down in Macon, the Macon Bacon, if you've heard of them.
That's
the summer team that he played for.
Yeah.
And he had a great summer, hit well over 300, played every single day. So Riley's been that guy that's just stood out that, we sit down in the locker room afterwards and coaches, we talk about practice, and Riley King's name keeps coming up. So he's certainly going to be fighting for some playing time.
Over this century, the last 20 years or so, Georgia's had some great teams. But the one thing that we've not really had, and we've had some very good pitchers, don't get me wrong, but just that Friday horse that can just go out there and give you 7-8 innings. And I know that's easier said than done. And Georgia's had – and I probably, in all fairness to like an Alex Wood or somebody like that, I don't want to leave them out. But it feels like we might have that situation with our rotation this year where you could literally throw out maybe three guys that could be a Friday guy for you. Is that how things are setting up right now?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate to say. And guys like Emerson Hancock, Tony Losey's been a guy that's been around here for 3 years now. C.J. Smith kind of came out of nowhere. We really didn't know exactly what to expect out of C.J. Knew he was a good baseball player, but when the lights go on, he just kind of goes to a different level. You've got Ryan Webb. We've got a freshman named Cole Wilcox.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Who's pretty darn good. Yeah, he's really good. So,
is he a weekender now? If he started it,
well, if we started right now, probably not. You know, he's going to have to earn it. Just he knew that coming in that he's going to have to earn it. But man, he's a hard worker. He's really talented. It's going to be really tough for him not to win that job just because of how talented he is, how hard he works, how competitive he is. I have a ping pong paddle at my house that's broken because my 14-year-old son beat Cole Wilcox in ping pong, and Cole was not happy. So
that
tells you how competitive that kid is. He's the nicest kid in the world. He will yes sir you and no sir you to death, but when he gets on the mound, he wants to beat you. So you know he's a great kid to have on your club, and yeah, he is very talented, but. You know what? We've got some guys around him, Emerson and CJ and Ryan Webb and Tony Losey. Will Proctor's another guy. Tim Elliott has really jumped, made a jump. Tim Elliott was 95 to 97 this summer. Just crazy numbers he was putting up. So we've got a lot of really good arms we're excited about.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland here in the studio with us.
Was it a surprise that, you know, you were able to get Wilcox? I know that was kind of one where the MLB draft always creates some problems with coaches and recruiting because you just don't know if those guys are going to end up coming, but you still kind of have to go after them to prove that you can.
How did all that go down?
Well, Cole committed really early. It was right after his freshman year he committed. And he loves Georgia. He's always been a dog fan. And I can remember where I was in my backyard grilling out in the summer when he called. And he goes, Coach, I'm committing. And I was a little bit shocked that he was committing that early. And he goes, Coach, I know where I want to be. I know where I want to go. And this is what I want to do. So for the last 3 years, we've been able to, you know, have him on campus. And he's been to games. He's come up for basketball games. He comes for baseball games. He's been a big part of our program, even though he wasn't on our roster. He's a 4.0 student. Mom and dad really push college. If you're going to gamble on a guy, and that's basically what you're doing when you go after a high-profile guy like that, you're gambling. You don't know whether or not he's going to show up or not. Mm-hmm. We felt really good about it. When we were beaten out of the regional last year, that's when the draft was taking place. Mm-hmm. I got home and started watching the draft, and I'm thinking, oh, no, because we knew Cole Wilcox had a chance to go. Actually, was rated to go number 19 overall. And so I'm expecting to sit down already in a tough mood. It's a tough night, and right. I'm going to watch this draft and going to get kicked in the face again. And with the 15th overall pick, I believe it was number 15, I hear the commissioner call out, Cole, win. And, I mean, I almost threw up. I'm like, oh, no. And it was Cole Wynn, a right-handed pitcher from California.
Oh, my gosh.
And my heart skipped a beat. And when Cole got calls in the first round, and he just made the decision, I want to go to college. This is what I want to do. I don't want to be in the low levels of the minor leagues as an 18, 19-year-old.
Yeah.
I want to go to college. So it was a bad day, but it was a good day for the future of our program.
What's his repertoire? You know?
Well, you know what? You always try to – you could take every single player on your team and say, best case scenario,
right.
This is the big leaguer he turns into.
Right.
Everything happens the right way.
Yeah.
This is who he reminds me of. Max Scherzer's my guy.
Okay.
That's
well,
who
that's
I think
good.
Of. I mean, he's 6'5".
Right.
He's 230 pounds. It's from a three-quarter angle. It was up to 97 the other day in practice, just in inner squad, just 95 to 97. Good breaking ball, good changeup, and really competitive like we talked about. So it's really good stuff. It's high-end stuff. And when you put him and a guy like Emerson Hancock and like we talked about, Losey and CJ and Webb and Proctor, and you got Kristofak and Shunk on the back end. Coach Kenny's got a little smarter this fall. That's the one thing he says, man, I'm kind of smart right now. As coaches, when you get really good players, you get smart real quick.
Well, he did a great job last year, and you've got Coach Gaspard in this year, former Alabama coach.
Yeah, excited to have another head coach on our bench. You know, anytime, you know, I learned it last year having Coach Hughes around, having a guy that kind of thinks the way you're thinking, sees things the way that you see them as a head coach, it's really valuable. And, you know, Mitch has been a head coach for 13 years, six of those years in the SEC. He was a head coach at the University of Alabama. So he's, I mean, right away, he's made a huge impact. He's working with the infielders, and the guys love him. He's a hard worker. He's really knowledgeable. He'll be coaching first base. And like I said, working with those infielders, helping with the hitting. And we feel like this time next year that we're going to have a fourth coach in college baseball. We feel like that legislation is going to go through. So Mitch and his wife Kim are here in Athens, Georgia, spending a year. They're empty nesters. Both their daughters are out of college. So it's just the two of them. They're going to enjoy a year in Athens. And we feel like that this time next year that he is going to be full-time on the staff.
That's fantastic. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland joining us here in the studio. Yeah, Coach Hughes last year was he was great, but you knew he was like a one-year rental, and he ends up getting the Kansas State job.
You know, it's a funny story about that. When he came in August, and we sat down, and I offered him the job, and we went and we ate at the taco stand downtown. We sat there, and we looked across each other, and I said, you know what, Pete, this is what's going to happen. You're going to come in here, and you're going to have a low-stress life. You know, you're the volunteer coach. You don't have to worry about wins and losses. You just go out and coach. And you're going to help our guys get better. We're going to have a great year. We're going to go to a regional, and you're going to get a head coaching job.
Easy enough.
The season ended. We were in the locker room, and the season ended. And when we got the bid to go into the regional, and he actually knew that he was getting the head coaching job at Kansas State, we kind of looked at each other and goes, gosh, can you believe that worked out like that? Exactly how we hoped it would. Yeah. It did work out.
Yeah. So hopefully you and Coach Gaspard have had that same conversation.
Well, we kind of said the same thing, but you're going to be, you know, on our staff and continue to be a coach here. He wants to stay in Athens, and we feel like that's a really good possibility of happening.
The schedule, you guys released the schedule, I guess it was last week or the week before last. Yep. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, the SEC is just a bear. Yeah. You know, we've got some great home series. We've got LSU coming here. We've got Florida coming here. We've got Vanderbilt coming here. So really good home slate for the fans. We have to go to Georgia Southern, which is never easy. World War III anytime you play Georgia Southern, especially when you go to Statesboro. Yep. We have to go to Kennesaw State. We go to Georgia State. We go to Jacksonville State. We're playing a home-and-home with Jacksonville State. Jim Case is a good friend over there.
That's going to be one, though, where you stay over. Yep. And then go to Auburn.
Yep, right? We're going to play them and then just head straight to Auburn. So that kind of worked out. We're out of school that time. Yep. So it works out. So, you know, we've got some great home games, and it's always going to be challenging. Our schedule will be ranked in the top 10 again because we play Georgia Tech three times. We play Clemson twice. That's the thing with our strength of schedule. It's just built in no matter what. And it's always a challenge.
How did it come about to play the Citadel over in Augusta?
Well, you know, we needed another date. We actually had a team that dropped us because basically they needed to win some games, and their AD said, hey, we need to take Georgia off the schedule.
Who was that? Asking
I cannot say, but we got dropped, and it kind of happened late. So gotcha. Then when that happens, you got to scramble. And
was it originally supposed to be in Augusta?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
We you know, we talked to Tony Skoll and the Citadel about coming over here because we went there last year.
Right.
And they were going to try to do it. It's a long trip for them just to come in the midweek. So we started talking to the folks at North Augusta. They wanted us to come back. We went down there last year and played Clemson.
It was a great environment.
So it just worked out. We've got a great recruiting base down there and a great fan base in the Augusta area. So it's really worked out, and kind of cuts the drive in half for the Citadel.
Yeah.
And so we're going to play them on April the 30th.
That's awesome that you get, you know, kind of experiences like that playing in different spots. And I know Georgia in the past, you know, has gone out to know the LAs and things like that. And when you're recruiting, you know, it's always good to have, especially kids in like, you know, North Augusta or Clemson or anywhere like that that's a little closer over there, you know, or in that area, you can get them to kind of get the family to come out for a game that, you know, they don't have to travel as far to get to.
Sure, no doubt. And when you can go out and do that, I think it's a great opportunity. We get to play over in SunTrust. We'll play Georgia Tech over there again. And but then going to North Augusta, that's something that we may end up doing every single year, finding a way to play a midweek game in North Augusta. It makes it tough with the travel. But that being said, we do recruit a lot in that area. You know, Adam Sasser's from there. We've got a couple players coming from that area. So we're excited about it, and hopefully we can continue to do it.
Strap Dog wants to know, are there going to be rosters for people to look at on Sunday? What's it going to be like? And it is open to the public, because we've actually had a couple of emails about that too. So the Sunday experience, as far as what the fans going, do you know what time the gates open and all that stuff? And, what, you know, is there any – I can find. I'll ask Lake.
He'll know all the answers. Gates are most likely going to open at noon. I mean, we'll start batting practice around 11:45 or so. But it's going to be as close to normal as possible. Okay. Obviously, in the fall, and a lot of our resources are doing some other things. We'll have the scoreboard. We'll have music playing. We've got Sam Franco here on the PA. So
we're
going to make it as game-like as possible. But from right now, I don't think we're going to have concessions, so it's kind of open. You can bring stuff in as long as it's legal.
Yeah.
Strap dog, as long as it's legal, you can bring it in.
Well, that'll stay out the barking
lot. We'll make sure that we do it that way. But it's going to be open to the public. It's free admission. It's going to be as game-like as possible. There will be some things. I mean, you might see someone re-enter a game here and there. But other than that, it's going to be as close to a game day experience as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be – and I think it's cool. And we had – I know you said you couldn't get Florida worked out, but that might be, like you said, something down the road.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah. We hope in the future. Coach O'Sullivan wants to do it as well. We've talked about it for a couple of years, and now this legislation came through that we can play. With us not having school on Friday really helps that we can travel down there and do it. So that's what we're trying to do. It's not for sure. It's not set in stone. We felt like it was this year. I mean, we'd agreed on it. Hey, we're all pumped up. We're excited to do it. And then all of a sudden we found out, oops, the stadium's not available. That's one minor detail that got overlooked.
It's like, oops.
We need to have a stadium to play in. But we think in the future that's something we can do.
The Dogs have an exhibition game coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Excuse me, 2 o'clock. I'm sorry. I meant Central. 1 o'clock
yes.
Central.
Yes.
2 o'clock Eastern. I'm going back to bed here in a second. 2 o'clock on Sunday, and then October
the 14th. Yep, against UNC Asheville, 2 o'clock.
So it's a new thing going on this fall where teams have a couple of exhibition games. I want to make sure, am I leaving anything out?
I think you're good.
All right, and then the season starts February.
February the 15th, University of Dayton is going to come down.
Dayton.
And,
the Flyers.
The Flyers are coming down, and we're excited. We've got to get this fall out of the way and figure out where we are, and you answer a lot of questions in the fall. But, we are excited for another great year, and, I know our fans are excited. When I see people out and about, they're excited about our season from last year. And excited about what we have in front of us, so it's going to be a lot of fun at Foley Field.
Well, I know you're a Kent State guy too, with a maybe a little rivalry there with Dayton. Any added incentive there on your perspective?
not really. No, I know the head coach there, and he's a new head coach. Jason just got the job 2 years ago, so we talked about it. You know, Kent State, we've gone back and forth about trying to play. There's already enough drama when you play a series. I don't know if I need the alma mater coming down. Just that there's already enough.
I don't blame you.
So, and they're always really, really good, and that's a tough weekend. So we've had some discussions, but nothing in the near future with Kent State.
All right, before we let you go, a couple of quick-fire questions. Jacob DeGrom, should he win the Cy Young Award?
He's awfully good, but man, to me,
I know you get fixated on 9-9, his record, but everything else is Cy Young stuff.
Earlier today, we ran down his performances against the Braves, just his five starts. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of runs
five
that the
starts,
guy's given up.
He's 0-2 with a 1.09 ERA.
He's only given up four runs against the Braves. Like, he himself has given up four runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough one. You know, a lot of times they take those guys from the winners. But there's guys in the past that have won the Cy Young that didn't necessarily have the wins, the 17, 18, 19 wins. But he's definitely in the mix. But, I don't know. Should he get it? I don't know.
Well,
is he going to get it? I have no idea. But, man, his numbers certainly deserve
it. It's crazy to me in the NL, too, because both guys that are kind of vying for it, him and Scherzer. Scherzer's on a losing team, too, in the Nationals, and he just got 300 strikeouts.
Yep. Yeah. So, I don't think you can go wrong either one, but there's not one surefire guy. You know, the guy that went 22-5, that guy's not out there. So I think you could certainly see DeGrom win it.
All right, who's going to win the World Series?
Oof.
The Red Sox, unbeatable?
I don't know if they're unbeatable.
Indians,
they're awfully good. I'm a Tribe guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Indians do it. When Rajay Davis hit that home run 2 years ago, my son and I woke up the house. It was about 1 in the morning, and the rain delay got us there in Game 7. But, I'll be rooting for the Tribe and the Braves. Those are my two teams. That's how I hope goes the World Series. I hope we see a rematch.
95 all over again.
And you know, that's how I do it. I'm a Browns guy too, and I can say that with a lot of pride.
The long national nightmare is over.
The 1-1-1 Cleveland Browns are on fire. That was a lot. If you stayed up and watched it Thursday. A lot of Georgia fans don't necessarily like Baker Mayfield, but I tell you what, if he's on your team, you really like him. And, and I am, I'm a convert. He's on my team now. And, man, that was fun to watch. And
he's a modern-day Danny Ainge. That's
what
he is.
You know what? That's a pretty good call right there.
Did you get your souvenir Bud Light can?
Did somebody reserve one for you? Sam, I never touch the stuff.
Well, it could have been empty. It's just for the souvenir.
Yeah, Coach, always great to see you. And again, this our Sunday at 2, and then October 14th, we got the exhibition games. Good stuff. Let's see. I guess we got everything cleared out here.
I think we did. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being out there on Sunday myself.
Sunday afternoon.
Well, when they asked me initially, I was like, can you do the PA for? And I go, well, is it open to the public? I was like, why would I be there if it wasn't?
Open to everybody. Open to everybody.
Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.